Hello, everyone, and welcome to You Are Beautiful. And if you didn't hear it today already, let me say it to you right now. You are, wait for it, beautiful. That's right. My name is Lawrence Zarian, but since we are going to be instant fast friends, you can call me LZ. On this podcast, some of my closest friends from television, film, movies, influencers, designers, they're going to be here with me, with us, talking about how they feel, what makes them feel beautiful, and when they look in the mirror, what do they see? It's going to be a fun ride. Trust us, trust me, and let's have some fun. Hey, and by the way, let me say it again. You are beautiful. And one more thing. You Are Beautiful is brought to you by the vibrant doc, Dr. Stacy J. Stevenson. Hey, everybody, welcome to another edition of You Are Beautiful with Lawrence Zarian. And on her whirlwind press tour, please welcome Emmy-nominated actress for her work on the TV show What's New Scooby-Doo, portraying Velma Dinkley, the one and only Mindy Cohn.
Hi.
So here's the thing. You are living your life right now out there and with such joy and happiness. I'm having the best time following you on Instagram and Insta stories, because your joy is palpable. And for someone like me, I have to separate the two because, yes, we're friends.
Yeah, you know the real me.
Yeah, but also you're a part of my history. Like, I am one of millions and millions of people that grew up with you and know you. So to see you live your best life, I can separate the both and say, look at my friend Mindy, but also look at this person that I've known for decades. Are you having the best time?
I'm having a good time. I mean, I was told by women that I love that took me in and under their wing when I was in my late teens, early 20s, that your 50s, 60s, and 70s are going to be the best years of your life career-wise, and you're going to enjoy it. You know, at 20, not what you really want to hear.
Yeah.
But now that I am on the cusp of turning 58 and it's happening, I think it's hysterical. And I also think it's amazing. And I have so many people to thank for it, including myself, with a lot of the work that I do on myself, for myself, that's very private. A lot of it also is just genetically disposed to being terminally optimistic. And my Granny Rose's, you know, blood running through me, that my joy of life has just exponentially gotten bigger the older I get. That I was told this misinformation, this sort of misunderstanding that, boy, at 50, you know, buckle up. It's kind of just downhill. My experience has been completely different. And I have now become a vocal advocate for the 50 plus crew.
On behalf of somebody in that group, I thank you. Number one, just a Google away. Number two, here's my question then. Because you talk about these people that sort of, you know, planted these seeds when you were young and you're like, well, wait for 30 years and everything's going to happen. Who were those people that gave you those beautiful gifts?
Well, excuse me while I drop another name.
Please.
I mean, it's a little, you know, but I'm also so proud that for some reason they all saw in me them.
Yeah.
So they were all about 40 years my senior. And in fact, the most darling part is that they are the age I am now when they met me. Could totally make me cry at any moment.
Good name drop.
So it started with Eileen Heckart, who played my grandmother in a James Lapine play.
Okay, I know who that is because I'm that age. Oh my God, brilliant.
She said, honey, you got to meet my girls and they got to meet you because you know what? You're one of us. And so she introduced me to Elaine Stritch and Ruth Gordon and Geraldine Page. And then the LA contingency that just happened to be Bea Arthur, Cloris Leachman, and Betty White. And so my coven, as we called ourselves, was born-ish. And until we lost Betty, my last remaining, and you know, I had Cloris for a very long time as well. Yeah. They really, you know, I've just never had a moment of being a self-hating actor because of them. I've loved being a creative. I've loved the serendipity of being discovered by Norman Lear, but then being really brought in by these women who I not only loved, but I respected as actors, say, yeah, you got it. We believe in you. Let us believe in you until you believe in yourself. To have that at such a young age, I mean, it stands to reason that I've never really had an identity crisis.
First of all, I love a good name drop. I love it. Number one, but you just didn't name drop, literally, honest to God. If you do not know who those people are, Eileen Heckart, Elaine Stritch, Ruth Gordon, if you don't know who those people are, please Google them, because they are ultimate legends in their own way. And what a lovely way to pay tribute to them by doing the work that you're doing now and still carrying them with you in your heart.
Oh, I think they're having a better time this week during my press junket for Pomeroy-El than I am.
Your aunties. You know, I always say when women come into my life, you know, Gregory and I have certain women that have come into our life and we're like, it's like a mom. So a mom will fill that void. With you, you have your celebrated connection with your coven, as you said. So let me ask you this then, because you brought up Norman Lear. What was that moment? Because it's such a fascinating moment, the way you were discovered. Mm-hmm. What was your mindset the morning you went to school, knowing that you were going to do this tour?
Well, it was this bizarre hour in our headmaster's office. It was me and my friends, Dara Perkins and Andrea Nagin. I literally have the Polaroid of the moment, by the way.
Please, I have to say.
We have those vintage, it's now vintage, 7-Up, sitting there with Charlotte. I mean, it's so cool and it's so random. And they were just trying to authenticate scripts and what it's like to go to an all-girl private school and do you miss boys and is the uniform a pain in the ass? And I really didn't think anything of it except that I was meeting Mrs. Garrett, who I saw on TV every Saturday night on Different Strokes. And 2 days later, you know, when what Norman had said to me was coming to fruition and what Norman said to me that afternoon was, you have captured Charlotte's heart. You have made me laugh. We're going to write a part for you on our show and we're going to name her Natalie because that is Charlotte's real life best friend in high school's name. Okay? And I went, okay.
I didn't know that. Oh my God.
That's the story. And 2 days later, I am in Norman's office, Norman, Ellen Horn, Charlotte Ray, and the casting director, Eve Branstein, explaining to me what the next 4 weeks are going to be like in August before you start school again. We're going to shoot this show, okay? Okay. And gratefully, they had hired an actor named Kim Fields, who decided that instead of her seeing a deer in headlights, she saw a little soulmate and took me under her wing and explained to me what upstage and downstage and all that lingo was. And then Nancy McKeon giving me my first acting lesson when I had a dramatic scene. I mean, these girls carried me. So it has been serendipitous from the time of my bat mitzvah to now.
Can I just tell you, I love that we're recording some of this because the entire interview that we're going to have, Mindy, is my mouth is open. Because, I mean, literally my mouth is open. I'm gobsmacked because...
Oh, am I still surprising you in our relationship, Lawrence?
Here's the thing, Mindy. You know, Gregory and I have been in this business for 30 years and I don't have many friends that are actors. I just don't. I have a couple friends that are amazing, that are actors. And it's very hard for me sometimes to separate the character from the friendship because all I knew for so long was the character. So it's so joyful for me because we never really talk about Facts Alive. Like we're friends. So it's not a big part of our dialogue. So to hear you talk about this.
Well, I also think this is where, you know, we differ in the most beautiful ways when you're friends with fellow creatives is that you're able to share your, you know, my biggest thing is that this is what I do. It's not who I am.
Yeah, 100%.
I was told very early on, don't look for friends at work. This is work. And then you have your private life and make sure you have a private life or you're doomed. And I think sometimes, and especially in the City of Angels, where the city is the business, you know?
Yeah, but you have angels though. So that thought that I had, it's Charlotte, it's Eileen, it's Bea Arthur, it's Ruth, it's Nancy, it's Kim. It's those angels, those women that have lifted you up to see you in a way that you hadn't seen yourself yet. So that to me is magic. Now, let me ask you this. What was the first table read like for Facts Alive?
I don't remember the first table read, but I remember our first day of rehearsal in my one line, because, you know, not a proven actor yet. One of the teachers says, some of you are about to burgeon into womanhood. And Natalie says, I thought all of us were burgeons. Well, Lawrence, darling 13-year-old Mindy did not understand a word of what she was saying. So the whole rehearsal hall erupts in laughter. And I'm thinking, what did I just say? I don't get it. I'm going to have to ask mom when I get home tonight what burgeon means. Boop. You know when I got the joke? First taping in front of a live audience. What'd she do? Yeah. Laughed so hard. Oh, God. Embarrassed myself so badly. I thought all of us were burgeons. Stop tape, Mindy. You can't laugh at your own joke. Oh, I just got it, though. So there was a little grace given to little Mindy Cohn back then.
I love the grace. Let me ask you this. What do you miss the most about playing Natalie Green?
You know, I don't, which is the gorgeousness of my experience with that show. That wow. I got to be her for 10 years and I feel very completed by it. And so I think that's why I personally don't have a chip on my shoulder of still being recognized or people smiling when they see me, because I remind them of some. It's like being Fonzie's jacket under glass. You're like a thing. It's very sweet, but it feels very beginning, middle, and end for me. I don't feel like, oh, I had so much Natalie left in me. I really feel like we did her.
That's beautiful. What is it like, though? Because, I mean, at that time, the thing that shocked me is, number one, no residuals. What?
That's why I borrow money from your brother. Your brother and John are very generous to me because of that. Shout out to the Stewart family who support Mindy.
So, hey, Mindy, will you do me a favor? Mm-hmm. Will you please ask Gregory to loan me $50 because I'm struggling on this end?
I got you.
Because in the day, there was no cable. There was no streaming. You were on one of the most pop. Millions and millions and millions of people watched you, grew up with you. How do you feel now when somebody comes up and they see you and think of Natalie Green, or they hear you and they think of Velma? What is that response for you?
I mean, it's lovely to walk around and have someone smile at you. Because they're either clocking you as Natalie or the voice of Velma, or just that you bring a smile to their face. This cannot be a bad thing, no matter where you are in the world. I will say, though, that the biggest misconception is that, I really appreciate you bringing that up, Lawrence. It is a little bee in my bonnet that somehow the assumption is we're sitting on a pile of gold, that we have financially been taken care of our whole lives from the show, and that I haven't supported myself to a style to which I've become accustomed, being an actor all these years, because I have, and it's not been from facts of life. And I love that we as actors, you know, struck 25 years ago to remedy that, and that we've just recently come off of another strike to remedy another situation financially for actors. And I think sometimes people lose the message that people like you and I and Gregory and my best friend Tara Karsian are middle-class actors. And what I mean by that is we support ourselves with what we do. And we aren't poor and we aren't wealthy, but we are these middle class, some of us like us, upper middle class, actors and performers and writers and directors that work. And I sometimes think the glamour and those million-dollar paychecks of the movie stars somehow people just misunderstand.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just out here looking for a gig.
Somebody said to me recently, oh my God, you're so lucky. And I had to stop back and catch my breath and really say, instead of saying, fuck off, because I haven't been lucky at all in the sense of I've worked my ass off. There's no luck in it. You work hard. I work hard. Like, you work so hard for what we have and what we do.
Yes. I think, though, for actors specifically, it is the only creative medium that you can't be self-reliant, that right. It really is up to other people to hire you. That's a scary thing. It has freaked out my parents my whole career because, of course, they see what I do for other people and what I can do. I just can't represent myself. It's a career that's really challenging because of that, right? It's up to an agent to submit you and a casting yeah. director to get you through and a producer to hire you. I mean, it's just so many people's that there is to me an element of luck to it. But yes, if you don't have the work ethic or the tenacity, you're going to be lost.
Well, the intention was, look at how great things are happening for you. And I was like, no, the intention was, oh my God, you're so lucky. No, there's no luck. Like, I literally, like, I am one of those people that I don't let people carry my clothes to my dressing room. I do not take for granted anything that nobody gave me a seat at the table. I earned my seat at the table I'm sitting at. Now, let's talk about a table that you're sitting at, because I love a good table read. Having said that, Mindy Cohn.
Yeah.
You sat at a table read with somebody that I've fantasized about, somebody I grew up with, somebody I've cried with. Please name drop your cast of Palm Royale.
Well, it starts with our fearless leader, Kristen Wiig, and her producing partner in this effort. I mean, they don't produce together separately, but Laura Dern and Allison Janney. Yeah. And Ricky Martin and Josh Lucas.
That's my favorite throuple. Just, you know, Ricky Martin and Josh Lucas. I'm just telling you. So help a single friend out. Do it.
And Julia Duffy. And then, of course, drumroll, the Carol Burnett.
I got home at midnight last night from New York. We literally, like, were two ships, or we should have been on the same plane. I was at Kelly. I saw you standing in front of 30 Rock. We're missing each other. I literally.
Are you going to be there when they do the show next week? Kristen and Carol are doing the show next week.
I'm not. They flew me back here and then I'm flying back. But I saw you. I literally took the photo like you did in front of 30 Rock. I literally was there the day before. Literally.
Oh my God, I love it.
Tell me exactly what it felt like to sit at that table read.
Well, I wasn't at the table read, okay. I have to say. My first days on the set were mostly with Kristen and Julia and Allison and Ricky and, you know, slowly but surely met everyone. It's an embarrassment of riches on every level. And ironically, and kind of a shock to all of us, we all kind of fangirled over each other. And then we started working together and it was like, oh, you are really that good. Oh, you are really that funny. Oh no, we're in trouble. This is very fun. Oh no, we're really good. We're really good together. Oh my God. Swing higher, swing faster. Let's do it. I can meet you. I mean, it was an embarrassment of riches. And so what sounds good on paper turned even better in person.
And you see it.
Hopefully translates with you watching on Apple TV.
When you say embarrassment of riches, this podcast is one of the best things that's ever happened to me. I love it. I've always been put in this box when it comes to fashion. Oh, you just do a makeover, you're this, you're that. And I love the career that I've created. What I love about this podcast, An Embarrassment of Riches, is I get to intimately have time with people that I respect in the business. Doing my research is very important. So when I got home last night and I watched 2 hours, 2 o'clock face, I went to bed at 2 o'clock, to see somebody that you genuinely care about on something that everybody's talking about, to see you in the sauna, brought me so much joy and so much happiness. After I literally fanned out for 30 seconds, the relationship with you, I mean, Anne is delightful. You play Anne Holiday, writing of a brand new magazine called Shiny Sheet, the new editor. But to see you and Kristen together in that moment, you can't fake that. To see you at the gala the next day or a couple of days later, it's chemistry times 1,000, all of you working together.
Well, we feel it. We felt it then. We still feel it now. I mean, what's so interesting is I think the biggest comment and surprise we get from everyone is when we're done with all these long days, we all have dinner together. I mean, like, we just like to be together and it's very real and profound and not normal. We all know how special this is. And, you know, for someone like Carol at the premiere to be asked, well, what do you want for your 91st birthday? She unabashedly says, a season two.
Yeah, to work. I want to work.
I mean, that's a Palm Royale bitch if ever there was one. And so, you know, we love each other. We want to keep it going.
The picture, first of all, literally fanning. I literally was like, okay, stop stalking. But the picture of you and Carol, I literally am living so vicariously. Honest to God, I am such a fan of this business. I really, 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 really am. On Kelly Clarkson, they sometimes have me stay in my dressing room because I fan over it. And look, first of all, I love-
tell you what's so darling about me and Carol is that I first met Carol when I was 12 years old and started Westlake School for Girls. I went to school with her two daughters. Wow. So, you know, Carol Burnett was not my carpool mom. Let's not turn this into something it wasn't. But having said that, we've known each other a very, very, very long time. And so to finally work together is that much more delicious, truly. It's not lost on me what an icon she is and that this part is going to blow people's pants off because she's exquisite as Norma Delacorte, especially when she wakes up, which is coming. She's in a coma right now.
Well, tell me, I ask you this then. Who is Anne?
Thank you, Lawrence. Anne Holiday is the editor of the Shiny Sheet magazine. She's also a member of the club. So while she reports and is sort of the gatekeeper of the news of these wonderful society women in a time where that was just starting to pique the interest of the rest of the country, the rest of the country's, we want to read about these lives and these people. She's also a member of the club. So it's so delicious to play someone who's got one foot in and one foot out with these ladies. And thanks to our helmsman, Abe Sylvia, who at first Anne was supposed to just kind of be a conduit with Kristen, befriend her and sort of be this vehicle of exposition for the viewers out there about this world. Starting in episode 5, she kind of becomes a part of the story, which was a really amazing surprise to me. And again, an embarrassment of riches. She's darling.
No, she's darling and it's sweet. But you also get in episode 2, you see the auction taking place. And what I love is sort of the game of ping pong with Anne. Let's go over here. Let's go over here. And, you know, she's the keeper of the keys. And I sort of love the tagline of like, what would you do or what would you sacrifice to fit in? And I think that's sort of an underlying, at the heart of all of it, it's who are you and what would you give up to be a part of something else? So I love that constant thread. Also, another character, Mindy, is the fashion. Oh my. Those fittings had to be spectacular.
Well, first of all, what you we all don't see is what's going on underneath, which is vintage. I don't mean my body. I mean that Alex started from, you know, the underpanties up. And every department, by the way, was like that. We've all talked about John Carlos, our production designer, and Ellen Reed, our set decorator, because you go on set and open a drawer and it's filled with things. And as a prop whore, you know, I bow to the throne that is John Carlos and Ellen Reed. All of this stuff helped us from the makeup and the wigs, but the fashion is no joke. Alex not only scoured the world for these vintage designer duds, but scoured the world for vintage fabric. And when she couldn't find something, would make it. So a lot of Anne's clothes, because of the size that I am, are made from vintage fabrics. Stop. And so these things are, it's beyond. And I have to tell you, it's so fascinating to me how much the fashion industry in the last couple of weeks have been commenting. And I think there's going to be a little bit of a Palm Royale influence, no doubt about it.
I'm going to do this because I just want to say that not that I had the foresight and I don't know where it is because I have a gift for you. Hold on. And I'm in my boxer shorts. Hold on.
Okay.
And I'm back. So this is what I want to do. And not that I, who am I to foresight anything? As you know, I have a launched a clothing line at QVC.
Yes.
And one of my prints that I was very adamant about last year was I wanted tropical. I wanted exotic. I wanted it to have a vintage vibe. So when I see you, I'm going to give you my scarf. And it is, Mindy.
Oh my God, I'm going to not only wear that, I'm going to publicize the holy hell out of that. That's fantastic.
The point is, when I see it, when I see you, I'm like, you have to have this. Hold on.
Oh my God. Get out. Okay, wow.
I'm going to. Wow. Yeah, so there's that. Okay, 5 minutes.
Okay.
All right, hold on. I'm coming back. I'm going to get those to you because it screams Palm Royale.
Yeah, it does.
Also, what you wore at the premiere, Oscar de la Renta, spectacular.
Thank you. And I do want to do like a little shout out, not only to Oscar de la Renta, but Gabriella Hearst too. You know, designers that don't need to loan me shit and have been so just screaming adorable that I will be wearing their frocks more to come. But yes, I thought Oscar de la Renta spring 2024, literally down the runway in these caftans. I'm like, I can't with you. I need one.
Yep. Done. Okay, since we have a few more minutes, let me just ask you this. If you were trapped on a desert island and you could only take Natalie, Velma, or Anne, who would you take on the desert island with you and why?
Velma, for every reason imaginable. She would get us out of there. If she couldn't get us out of there, it would be amazing conversations. She'd find us food and water.
And sound great doing it.
Yeah.
What do you want people to walk away with after watching Palm Royale?
Oh my gosh. That we're all just trying to make our way and fit in and be a part of, and that we all need to be a little bit more inclusive.
I love that.
Yeah.
Now, two more questions, then I'm saying goodbye to you.
Okay.
Podcast is called You Are Beautiful with Lawrence Arian. And I think we've all gone through so much in the last couple of years. This podcast came from a place of when the world shut down and we're not the same people anymore. We are different. We've all gone through something. So my question for you is, today, when you look in the mirror, who do you see?
Oh, gosh. I see my darling Granny Rose, who I'm a doppelganger for, and I'm very grateful. Missy Rose Fransman.
And the final question is, I want you to answer this question for me. Answer this statement. I'm Mindy Cohn and beautiful because.
Oh, I'm Mindy Cohn and beautiful because I am the child of Nat and Ina Cohn, and I have been graced with the disposition of being an optimist and have a generous spirit. And I love this life I'm living.
I love that so much. I love that so much. I can't tell you how much I appreciate you doing this.
Oh my God, my pleasure. I'm so happy to do it.
I'm so glad you did it. And I am having the best time, my friend.
Oh, good.
Watching you live your best life and just the joy. And here's to an amazing season. And here's to many more, many, many more seasons. And here's to the $50 that you're going to get from me from Gregory. Ask Gregory for 50 and John for 50.
Done.
Now that was a beautiful ride. And speaking of beautiful, I want to thank Dr. Stacy J. Stevenson for going on this ride with us. Dr. Stacy's on call and you get to have her always with you with her brand new book, Glow, 90 Days to Create the Vibrant Life from Within. I read the book. It's changed my life and it can change yours too. Are you ready? Ready, set, glow.